Today, my guest is Amrit Sandhu, international speaker, podcast host of The Inspired Evolution, and a purpose coach certified by Eckhart Tolle. In today's episode, we talk about how to find purpose.
Your responsibility for your passions are for you, is to cultivate them, please. And that looks like something as mundane. I do this for my coaching clients. Calendar them. Put them in your calendar. Schedule things that you're passionate about.
Raising consciousness levels.
And then I was diagnosed after. I was like, hey, you're depressed. That was a massive, like, yeah, you're depressed. It's not great news, but it was an awakening for me. Like, I awoke to something greater in that moment, which is, oh, here is a different way.
Surrendering to the flow of life.
Now, it's an amazing tool, but the more you do that, I wonder if you can feel how that's creating anxiety in your system, right? So forward casting is the recipe for anxiety. So looking backwards, an invitation for depression. Looking forwards, an invitation for anxiety.
Amrit, welcome to my show, and all the way. I was going to say from sunny Australia, because that's sort of what springs to mind, but all the way from down under. Welcome.
Oh, Sonia, it is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it is a bit cold and rainy here today. It is the middle of winter, but it is very sunny here in Australia, and it is a pleasure to be beaming Australia vibes all the way to you in UK. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, look, thank you. And I feel very honored to have you as a guest on my show, because I have watched your amazing show, Inspired Evolution. I love it. Fantastic. And you've got some amazing, amazing guests, one of whom we share a love of, Dr. John DeMartini. And I'm sure we'll get on to talk a little bit more about purpose and values, and mindset and mission. But before we start, Amrit, can you tell my audience who you are and what you do?
Oh, that's a great question. So who I am is very concisely put as, when I look into myself, the pillars of Amrit are connection, contribution, celebration. That's really all I see myself as being. The world sort of sees me as a purpose coach, but I see myself as a health coach. I love conscious conversation. And in there, the biggest thing that I'm trying my best to do is have conversations with people that invite more and more meaning into their lives. So that involves connection. As long as I'm connecting with you and inviting more meaning into your life, I'm really zingy. And as long as there's an opportunity to contribute to you in that way, I'm really zingy. And hopefully that means you celebrate life a little bit more fuller, richer. And so that's all about me. So in that, the vehicles and the containers, which is probably the normal way to answer your question, Amrit is podcaster, YouTuber, life coach, and public speaker. But those are all just the vehicles which allow me to connect, contribute, and celebrate this thing that is just something that I'm so passionate about, which is, yeah, finding more meaning and living more meaningful and purposeful lives. Yeah.
I love that, Amrit. I actually love that. Those three words are absolutely beautiful. And I want to sort of delve down into finding out how you got to those three words. But before we start, I always think it's quite nice just to give people a feel for you and your background and how you got to this point. So could you walk me through your journey and background?
Yeah, I'll try and give you the Cliff Notes version, because I'm a subject matter expert on me, so I can talk about me forever. I always grew up having Indian heritage. I grew up with a deep sense of spirituality just baked into my life, my everyday life, my everyday being. It was just part of what I grew up with. I mentioned that because I have failed to mention that in the past, and in fact, it was in my blind spot for quite a while, just how much I take for granted spirituality and just the lens of spiritual being, if that's a way of putting it, because I just grew up with it. And I had a coach recently look at me, and he's like, you know, your values, we've been running through this, we've been talking about certain things, and you never really mentioned spirituality. And I was like, what's there to mention? Like, it's everything. He just goes, yeah, but you do value it. And it's like, that's true. So I grew up in an Indian household, very spiritual, but I also grew up in Australia, which is, as you mentioned, it's quite a pole, like the, I don't say the polar opposites, but there is a little bit of this East and West sort of conditioning between the two. They're two very different cultures. So I grew up in a Western climate. And by climate, I mean all sorts of culture, schooling, friends, all that sort of stuff, but with very Indian heritage and home. And I was the first generation out of India of a migrant family. So that meant my roots were still very strongly placed in like the way I was brought up in Indian. Everybody grew up around me on Disney and Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse, and I was watching Bollywood films and screwing in the light bulb and patting the dog and all those things at the same time. So it was gives you a bit of an idea of the sort of polarities that were going on. You know, it made for a very rich touchwood childhood. But then as I became more and more of an adolescent, as I approached my teenage years and then, you know, grew up, there started to be some real contrast between the values of, you know, and I didn't have this languaging around then, I wish I did, but and the values of what it meant to be Indian and what it meant to be Australian. Those are two very different value systems. And those value systems actually came, like, butted heads quite a bit, time and time again. Up until a point where, yeah, I had so much internal conflict, I would say, that I ended up basically landing in front of a psychologist at a certain point because I had pushed so hard trying to drive the Indian values forward and the Australian values forward. And they both were just, I couldn't be both people internally as I was just one person, and I had to try and reconcile the two. And I kept on that battle internally. When I was sitting in front of the psychologist, she said, yeah, like, you've been basically depressing yourself, which is not able to authentically express your fullest self. I can say that to you now, that the opposite of depression is expression. And I'm conscious when I say that, people will just be like, oh, depression's just something you can cure by creativity and expression. And yes, in many ways, my story shows me that. But, you know, full asterisks, for some people, yes, you may be suffering from a chemical imbalance. And sure, you know, medicines can support you through your journey. But for me, that was my truth, that I was very depressed. I was unable to express myself in the world because of these cultural conflicts that were going on inside of me. And that showed up in my character being compromised. I was trying to be someone that I wasn't. There's a lot of dishonesty, and I'm not proud of it, but it was just, yeah, even the people that were closest to me didn't even know the real me, because I didn't even know the real me, right? And that, when I was sitting opposite the psychologist, was quite a blessed memory, actually. I look back now very fondly on that time, but there was life before and life after. And she said, look, you've been basically struggling with depression for what seems to be about a good 5 to 6 years. What it seems is you've been navigating this, and it's great that you're here now. And actually, you'll be okay pretty soon, which was the remarkable bit. I was like, you just said I've had this thing for 5 to 6 years and now I'll be okay in a matter of months. But now, as a life coach, I can understand where she's coming from, because the two things she said to me in that moment were, A, you know something's wrong, and B, you're looking to change. And at the time, those were just two things she said, and I just sort of, you know, in the conversation, I didn't even pay any light to them. But I look back on that moment a lot, and I realize now, as a life coach helping other people transform, how important those two things are. Yeah, if you don't know that something's wrong, then you're not looking. There's awareness is the first key. And then, you know, the desire to change, actually being inspired to evolve, right, is a fundamental tenet to being.
Sorry, those two things are absolutely key. And as they say, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And just being open to that, I think, like you say, is pretty a pretty big step forward.
And it's interesting watching the journey of transformation as well, having facilitated it like one-on-one now for over 260 clients. Just how different people approach that journey, like once they're aware also, like, sorry, I'm digressing a little bit, but I think it's worth discussing. Some people believe that you can watch people and they believe that if they provide themselves more friction, if they beat themselves up more eternally about how they are and what their character's like and what's not working, they'll transform faster, maybe because the friction will create a bigger spark and the flames will just of transformation will embrace them faster. But oftentimes what I've seen is that actually doesn't work. The people that actually transform faster are the ones that are willing to go, hey, I'm human. How can I love myself through this? I know it's so cheesy to say that out loud, but how can I love myself through this? How can I be kind to myself? How can I accept myself more for my shortcomings? And as you accept and you're softer with yourself in gentleness, as you're gentle with yourself, things actually unravel faster and you move into the next space a lot quicker than being hard on yourself. That's just one of my fascinations, actually. Yeah.
Amrit, just on that point, because I know there are very much mixed views of when you're talking about trauma or depression or just people not feeling right, maybe with some things that have gone on the path, gone on in the past. Is your view that we should really ruminate and sort of unpick the past and talk about it, or sort of, okay, it's done, it's in the past, let's get over it, move on? Do you have a sort of point of view? Because I know there's some psychologists that you know, you could spend, and I've done it myself, I've been on the other side where I've gone to counseling and spent numerous sessions talking about my past and how I was brought up, etc. And each session, it seemed to be we were going over the past and the same things again and again and again. I'm not quite sure on the healing process.
I'll say a few things around that. So firstly, the present moment is all we have, right? And I was coached by Eckhart Tolle to facilitate presence and purpose for other people for 6 months. And that was one of the most amazing, like, his reading his books was game changing for me, but then being coached by him was just like, even how that came to be, I was like, what is going on in life? How am I? Anyway, touch wood. When you're ready, when your student is ready, the master appears. Let's just go there with that. So touch wood, one of the big things that I always remind myself is everything's here now. And I look at life a bit mythically. I believe story is a really interesting thing, because when you zoom out, yes, the story has a past and the story has a future, but the character is always in the present. Yeah. And so I've tried this, and this is how loopy, and you say, do you ruminate? Yes, Amrit, I would exchange it for the word contemplate, but that's just how I feel more comfortable. I contemplate a lot of things, and I've even contemplated, like, if what would happen to life if I didn't believe in story. But then I'm still the character in the story that's trying to escape the story, and that's still my story, right? So story is this massive life contemplation, philosophical thing that you can embark upon. But the reality is that all you really have is the present moment. And when you look back and you spend more and more time in the past, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, right? Like, it's actually really advantageous. It's how we have learned from our mistakes, hopefully many of us, as human beings. And actually, I would say that's what's brought civilization this far. We've tried to learn from our mistakes and navigate a better way into the future. But if you spend too much time looking into the past, one of the downfalls of that is that's depressing. Right? The past is laden with depression. I wish I could have, I should have, I wish that didn't happen. I wish, and like, you can hear even just in the frequency of what's coming through right now. It's like, it's dense, it's heavy, it's weighing you down. Right? And then you've got the opposite, which is the future. And again, can't be demonized spending time in the future, because being able to forecast into the future and look forward and go, hey, this is where we're going to go. And maybe I can make a plan for this. And maybe I should, maybe I could, maybe I would. Now, it's an amazing tool, but the more you do that, I wish I could, I wonder if you can feel how that's creating anxiety in your system, right? So forward casting is the recipe for anxiety. So looking backwards, an invitation for depression, looking forwards, an invitation for anxiety. Now, like I said, they're both evolutionary tools. They both got us here. They're both really useful. It's the problem arises when we're stuck in those places. So to heal that, you come back to the present moment. In the present moment, I would argue we are whole, given everything we've gone through, right? This is the moment where, like, in the present moment, you are the most resourced you'll ever be. Right now, if I stop talking to you and I start thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm now taking part of myself and investing it in the future, which isn't here yet, and I'm lacking resource. I'm like 80% here. So the most resourced version of me is actually the version of me that's here with you right now, in the present moment, doing what he loves doing and showing up fully. Now, in there, one of the key things to recognize for me is it's really interesting, because life does have these polarities, right? We are simultaneously completely fucking broken and yet entirely purely whole. It's so contradictory, and yet it is, that is, and having interviewed all these people, coached all these people, both are true entirely at the same time, right? Like, you are completely whole and you are completely empowered, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with you, and everything that has led you to this moment in the present moment is exactly who you were meant to be. Go you, yo, go get it, right? That is exactly who you're meant to be. Having said that, like Rumi said, the cracks are where the light gets in, right? All the challenges you've faced, you know, being a purpose coach, yeah, like, your pain is your biggest potential, right? So though my biggest pain was I struggled with depression for 6 years, brought a lot of self-awareness into my system as to what was creating that. And self-awareness is now, touch wood, as a coach, what I try to hold space for other people as well, to become aware of themselves, what their limiting beliefs are, what their ambitions are, what their goals are, what they would like to do, right? So it's a real juxtaposition, and it is a contradiction, but those contradictions, you have to make peace, I believe, with them to be part of the human experience fully and enjoy the majesty and the mystery of it, right? It's, wow, how incredible, night and day. Wow. How incredible that I'm completely fucking broken and yet I'm entirely, entirely whole. And yet I dance between the two entirely.
Oh my gosh, Amrit, I absolutely love that. And gosh, we could unpack so much of it. I resonate with everything you said about, you know, it's not the past, it's not the future, it is the present. But I do find, and you know, having coached people in the past, I don't coach right now, but when I did, and looking at myself, I'm probably coached myself the most. I know I'm, and I sort of tend to think people sort of fit in buckets. Not that I like to put people in buckets, but some people are very much, oh, I'm looking in the past and I can't look into the future, I can't look in the present. I'm much more of a future present than a past present, if you have to. And I don't know.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think people have propensities for certain ways. I'm not sure if it's genetic or what. But yeah, I think people didn't, like, I'm past oriented. I know me. Like, left to my own vices, I slip into depression. I have that tendency. And my wife, very future oriented, right? She's more like anxiety prone. Not saying she's an anxious person, but that's what she's prone for, right? And I'm prone to depression. But yeah, I love that description that you gave. Yeah. The key place to start is quite simply, and you know, borrow this from NLP, but it's your languaging. Like, what do you say? What are you always talking about? What are you always reflecting on? And you watch the inner narrative for yourself, you know? Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that donut yesterday. Oh, I shouldn't have, man. I watched that extra episode on Netflix and didn't end up walking the dog. Oh, right? These are all beat yourself up, like, you know, but from things you should have done in the past, right? And I can say those places from a really intimate place because Amrit has a propensity for beating himself up over the past, right?
Where so I'm like, when what am I going to have for dinner?
Yeah, and you're like, and so, yeah, so for you, it's like, oh, so for my wife, sometimes it's like, oh, I've got a patient tomorrow and, you know, they're going to have this procedure. And is everything prepped? Yep. Which nurse is going to be there? So she's thinking about the next day, right? And when you speak out loud, you'll just naturally find that the inside voice becomes the outside voice and you're generally talking about the same thing. So bringing that scalpel, that lens, to have a look at what you're talking about is the easiest way to begin, right? There's so many ways you can have a look at this, but that's generally the easiest way to begin. And if you don't know, ask one of your closest friends, right? Do we always talk about things that have happened, or are we always talking about the future, right? And they'll be able to tell you. And that's one of the biggest hacks, because your friends are always around you and they have so much more awareness of you than you do. It pays to just eat some humble pie sometimes and just ask the question. So that's how you can identify it really easily. And that's just a little tool borrowed from NLP. In order to come back into the present moment, there are many different tools. My favorite will always be the breath, because that's what I was gifted. When I was told I had depression and I was opposite the psychologist, she prescribed me antidepressants. And I remember I went home, took one, and I was like, this is amazing. And then I came down off it and I was like, that is scary as, pardon me for swearing, that was really scary, because I went up and then I came down and I was like, shit, is this how I'm meant to live life, up and down on a roller coaster? I picked him up and put him in the bin. But the doctor that prescribed me to the psychologist, she used to do a lot of mental health work. And again, touch wood, bless her cotton socks, by some grace of God, she gave me a 5-step breathing exercise. And as a young adolescent male, I remember her turning to me and giving me the breathing exercise. And I looked at her and said, breathe. Like, I was so condescending. I'm so embarrassed to admit this. Like, breathe. Like, I'm a human. Like, I breathe. I'm an animal. Like, all animals breathe. Like, breathe. Anyway, so she gave me, and pardon me for that, but she gave me a breathing exercise where you just count your breaths. So inhale, one. Exhale, two. Three. Four. Five. Four. Three. Two. One. And you're in the present moment, right? And counting your breaths, because the brain needs something to latch onto, the counting focuses it on the breath. And there is nothing more real time that is ever happening for you than your breath, right? Like, even you perceiving your breath, as you become a meditator, you start to trip out on all the little trippy bippy bits, is like, there is a slight lag because your perception is catching up to the fact that you're breathing. But that's such a trippy, hippy, dippy meditator place to be. But it is the most real time tool you have. So coming back to your breath, if you find that that is not something that's accessible for you, an affirmation is oftentimes one of the best places to go. I'm lovable, I'm enough. If you find yourself consistently barraged with going into the past or consistently barraged with going into the future, breathing, bring yourself back into the present moment. If that's too hard because you don't have that sort of practice, affirmations work really well. I'm enough, I'm enough, I'm present. Say what you would like to override the pathways that are sort of programmed in your mind to drive you into the propensity of taking you forwards or backwards, and just ride a pathway that is actually anchored in the present moment through affirmations.
Those are absolutely great tools. And I think sometimes people maybe overcomplicate it, especially with, and you know, we haven't talked about meditation on breath work meditation. Obviously there's a lot involved in affirmations. I think there's a lot of people out there, and look, I have spent a long time in the personal development world as well, but I do believe that there is people overcomplicate.
Oh, definitely.
What is something that is quite simple? I mean, you've just said it's in those five breaths you took, I did exactly the same and felt immediately centered and grounded.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in there. This is so inappropriate for me to say, but I think there's a few people that are listening to this that I find it useful to share, because having been in personal development as long as you have, and I have, just continuously growing ourselves, and the point that you made is so important. I feel the truths, especially these spiritual truths, the things that are like big life truths, they're always simple. Life wasn't meant to be hard and complicated. Yeah. And also, yeah, money's definitely not good or bad. It's an amazing tool. Yeah. In fact, I would say it's pretty good. It's an amazing tool for what it can actually help you accomplish. But yeah, it's being cognizant of, yeah, just making sure that your hard-earned value goes to things that you truly value.
Well, look, Amrit, we sort of interrupted your journey, and you were just saying that you'd got to the point of you'd been diagnosed with depression and you'd been given these tools to help. How did that lead to sort of your next evolution?
Yeah, great. You used the word evolution, so I'll take that journey to how I ended up with Inspired Evolution, or being inspired to evolve. It ended up with me. I don't know how it works, but it works. So the mindfulness exercise that I was gifted by the GP was actually the biggest gift ever. And guys, just as a mental health first aider, I'm just going to throw this in there. If you know anybody that's struggling with mental health issues or you think could use some help, your key responsibility is not actually to help them. It's just to get them to your local GP. In every developed country in the world, the GP has a process for basically supporting them through their mental health challenges. So I'll just throw that in there. Your GP is the best resource you have for yourself and your friends when it comes to mental health. So she gave me that breathing exercise, and I basically came to that brought in this whole awareness of like, eventually I was like, breathing's working. What? Breathing's working. Okay, what is this? And it's like, this is mindfulness. Oh, mindfulness. And I started reading The Happiness Trap, reading all these books on mindfulness. And eventually that brought me to meditation, which was, oh, mindfulness lives within the world of meditation. And again, growing up Indian, meditation was this thing. I used to see my dad just sit in the sun every morning for about an hour with his eyes closed. And I used to look at him and I was like, he's just sitting in, it was just something dad did, you know. I was just like, you know, but it was always out there. Always, it was always a dad thing. It wasn't really a me thing. And it's in, like, just, yeah, I started to connect with it. I just was like, okay, I'll just sit in silence. I've seen my dad do it and I'm sure I can do it. And I started to sit and then I started to learn more and more about meditation. One of the most intense books I've ever read is The Illuminated Mind. But yeah, that's like breaks down meditation in a bit too much, actually. It's a bit too technical. But yeah, I started to learn to meditate and that brought me to the journey of becoming a meditator. Now, in that, it wasn't easy as my world was breaking down. I lost a lot of my key relationships, a lot of my friends, because of how dishonest I had been, because of all the challenges I'd faced, because of how I'd been showing up. And for me, there's been these few moments of clarity in my life where I've just gone, I know what my next step is, and it's really, really uncomfortable. And for me, it was to move city, because I knew in the environment that I was currently in, it was very difficult for me to find a whole new slate that I just realized what I needed to write on it, because the psychologist gave me the gift of, you need to just implement the value of honesty. So my GP gave me mindfulness and meditation, and my psychologist gave me the value. And I didn't, at that point, I didn't even know that I could rewrite values. I thought they were just something like your character was just who you were was who you were and you weren't able to change. She was like, you can install honesty into your system. I was like, oh, I could learn to be more honest. She's like, yeah, absolutely. You're doing it right now. You're breaking down the old and inviting in the new as we speak. And this is what's happening for you. This is the new path. And so I moved cities from Adelaide to Brisbane and, yeah, basically doubled down, focused on my education, because one of the big things that was not working in my life was my education, which was ironic because I was always, touch wood, a pretty good student. And then I ended up Brisbane, and I used that as a stepping stone to get to Melbourne. Once my grades got really good there, I could apply to any university in Melbourne, got into Melbourne. And again, you know, through the process of having really good mental health and self-awareness, I pushed into becoming an engineer. And I graduated, touch wood, now don't say this to gloat, but I graduated top of structural engineering, top of engineering, top of RMIT for that year, my university. And the reason I share that with you is because when they awarded me the award, they said, "What? Why should we award you this award?" And all I said to them was, hey, it would be quite a testament to meditation and mindfulness as a whole practice for someone that got asked to leave university at one point to graduate university when they applied themselves with these tools, top of the university, and this guy got kicked out of university, and they're the same fucking person, right? Like, these tools work. And they heard my story and they were like, actually, I think that's a pretty good story and I think we'd use it. And I told them I'd use it to inspire others, touch wood. So here we are with the Inspired Evolution. So I owe it to all of that work to share it with you, and hence I share it with you. And then from there, you can imagine I got the opportunity to basically land the ideal job because I graduated top of my class. And so I could have taken any job I could have, and I did it. And yeah, then pursued about 7 years of what I now look at quite serious career misalignment. And that's my second biggest challenge in life. When you do the Myers-Briggs on AMRIT, the key things I should be is like coach, teacher, speaker, educator, trainer, that sort of stuff, which is all the stuff I do in the Inspired Evolution. The key things I should not be, according to my profile, which again, profiles have their limitations. I appreciate what you said about before, like not everybody fits into a bucket, yet these buckets can be helpful. The key things I shouldn't be is like mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, structural engineer, all degrees that I pursued, right? So the irony of that, is not lost on me, but at the same time, showing up every day for work was a really, 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 really it got harder and harder as I went on. And the irony is, as I'm sharing this with you, the very first day I got to work, I remember looking at my CEO and he was talking to somebody and he was actually being dishonest. I saw it happen, literally happen, like in front of my eyes. And I remember going, holy shit, I've worked so hard on myself to get to here and I'm here. And this ladder that I'm on goes to there. If like everybody dreams to being the CEO, right? So I was like, that's like, but then the intention that I harbored was maybe, well, I guess we'll be the next generation. We'll be the people that will, you know, I will be the change I wish to see in the world. And so I was hoping that potentially through this journey, like something would shift, but lo and behold, 7 years of continuously grinding. And I like to joke from stage that construction in Australia has some really long hours. It's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. as a bare minimum. If you're doing a late night, it's 10 p.m. And it's 6 days of the week, not 9 to 5, 5 days a week like most other industries. So I just had my midlife crisis in some ways earlier than most people because I put in the same amount of hours that people put into about 45, 50 by the age of 30. But yeah, that's just me just kidding around. So what ended up basically happening is I was going to work and I was feeling consistently like I was just a cog in the machine. Here I was giving everything I absolutely had, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., 6 days a week, spending all this money to live in a really nice home in rent where I wasn't even there, right? I was never there. Spending all my weekends to just cook the meals for the week coming up ahead and just make sure I was prepared. And I felt like everything I had was just given to this entity, which was the company I was working for at the time. And the painful realization that if anything was to happen to me, 2 weeks later, I'm just a number to them. They just replace me and move on. The world doesn't stop for the machine, right? But I've got a, like, you know, I've got a partner, I've got a dog at that point. Now I've got a family, touch wood, but you know, it just was very difficult to reconcile just how inhuman it felt for me. Now, I had to go through that journey. And for some people listening in, construction management is not a bad career at all. It's in fact, it, for some people, it's their dream because it aligns to their values. But for me, there was no connection. There was very little contribution. There was no celebration. So Amrit as a cat was being rubbed the wrong way for 7 years consistently. And the friction just continued to build and build and build and build until the point that enough became enough. And I didn't really know what to do. So some part of me realized that, you know, touch wood, education's always been one of my strong suits, but I've never been educated on how to be an entrepreneur or a creative. But these are the people that I look up to, coaches, authors, speakers, the John D. Martinis of the world, the Sonias of the world, you know, creating events, hosting people, doing all these incredible things, hosting podcasts, coaching people. I was like, how do I learn how to do that for myself? And I said, I'm just going to, you know, long story short, I started a podcast. It's called The Inspired Evolution. I'm inspired by these people. I want to evolve into becoming who they are potentially in the world. And I'm just going to interview them every week. And hopefully after about 200 episodes, I'll have some modicum of a clue on, you know, somewhat of a self-driven education on how these people did what they did. And I'll be able to install some of those lessons into my life so I can live life a little bit on my own terms and not be the cat that's been rubbed the wrong way against his values for this lengthy period of time. That felt so painful.
How do you really know it's pointing you in the right direction or whether to listen to it? I sometimes feel like it's like, wow, this has just happened. Do I need to do something with that or do I just let it go and park it?
Oh, I feel like it's already happening. If it's that aligned where you're literally contemplating something and someone presents themselves and they're like, that's exactly what I just did. It's a bit too eerie. I listen to the eeriness of it. If it's like, if it is too good to be true, something's up. The universe is communicating. Touchwood is my humble experience of it. That's what I believe. Doesn't have to be what you believe. Maybe I'm too far-fetched for you, nope, but that's what I believe. When I tune in, I'm like, oh, this is eerie. Like, of all the gin joints in all the world, she walks into my, no, but of all the places this guy could have just gone and landed and plonked himself on a couch and had a conversation, which was talking to a complete stranger in the cavalier attitude that he was, and the life junction that he was at and what I was at, it was a bit too serendipitous. It was a bit too coincidental. And again, like you, those moments happening again and again, I just stopped believing in coincidence altogether. So I'm always listening. As to whether, touch wood, that tells me to take action or not take action, generally I use it as a sign that I'm on the right path. I'm not using it as an invitation to go deeper or to pull back. I'm just using it as a sign to, hey, you're doing well. And then generally that, yeah, I guess is inviting me to go deeper. But yeah, it's a sign for me more than a call or a push. And so for me, that was a massive sign. Yeah, it's just like super serendipitous. And in that moment, I just find it's a bit too good to be true. And I just find that that's a perfect sign. And you've kind of just got to roll with it at that point because you can choose to ignore it. But I'm not sure that makes life as interesting or as fun or as playing into the majesty or the mystery.
That really leads me into another area I really wanted to talk to you about, and I think it leads nicely into this, and that is the various levels of consciousness. Because it is a nice lead in, and it's an area that I've been exploring. I think, I mean, are we all on it? You said you were you just naturally built you're spiritual. You wouldn't sort of necessarily describe yourself as that because, you know, because of your heritage. Where I think I've become much more spiritual or awake or whatever you want to call it. You know, everyone, I mean, I think people sort of maybe overuse that word at the moment. You know, are you awake or what does that actually mean?
I think we're all hopefully awakening, step by step. I think there's a collective awakening that we're currently going through. Awake for me, the way I experience it, there was the moment before when I was walking around with my values incongruent. I was asleep to something. Yeah. And then I was diagnosed after. It was like, hey, you're depressed. And I was a massive, like, yeah, you're depressed. It's not great news, but it was an awakening for me. Like, I awoke to something greater in that moment, which is, oh, there is a different way, you know? And so, breakdown to breakthrough is a common path. I wish it wasn't for everyone's sake, but I think that is just something we're consistently doing. And so awakening comes in many different forms. But generally there's, as they describe it, there's the Japanese have their wisdom around there's Satori and the Kensho. The Satori is the bliss, the samadhi, you sort of when you sort of have those moments of insight. I'm Googling courage and I'm having an epiphany. Like the lights are coming on. It's like those moments where it's like, ah, like the god, like, you know, the heavens open up. And that's Satori. And then you have Kensho, which is the stick of life, which is me showing up out of alignment in a career for 7 years, bang, 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 consistently, the friction. And that's also teaching you, right? So life is one big opportunity to learn and grow. And as we continue to open up, and, you know, there were places that were previously unaware of, or unlooked at, or unresolved, or unpeeked under the hood of, is probably how I would explain it to my son. When you start to look, generally, you start to accept, and when you start to accept, it becomes whole again. And when it becomes whole, you're like, oh, I was afraid of that, or I wasn't looking at that. And then you integrate a whole new part of yourself. And generally, you wake up to another. I have resistance around using the words level, but I would use level because it fits. And yeah, I think that brings us to the conversation around the levels of consciousness. Again, I am really challenged by the word level. Fundamentally, because it lacks humility. When you start saying level, it sort of says, I'm here, you're there, I'm here, and we're all on levels, and now there's spiritual levels. And spirituality is, if it is not about levels, right? Spirituality for me, if you had to rebrand it simply in a word, would be unity, right? Unity is spirituality, spirituality is unity. So where the fuck do levels come from?
Exactly.
But I need languaging to be able to explain it so you can help navigate your journey in this world of duality, right? There is night and day, light and dark. So in there, You get level zero consciousness, if we start there, is pre-language, human pre-language, right? So we don't have language. That is level zero consciousness. Level one consciousness is a sphere out from there. And you can call it many different things. Most people would label it as 2U reality. It's where life is happening to you. And that was me prior to someone telling me, hey, you can install the value of honesty and your whole life's going to change. Life was happening to me. I was what you call a victim. Everything that was happening, oh, life's not going my way, or this isn't working out, or what the fuck, or this or that, or this is just who I am. This is how I'm going to be. I can't change myself. Life is happening to you. That's level one consciousness. And generally, what happens, I see this time and time again, is a moment of Satori or a moment of Kensho comes in. For me, it was a lot of Kensho, right? I got asked to leave university. My girlfriend was ready to break up with me. My friends, basically disowned me. My mum and dad could bear, just like, couldn't even bear to look at me. Like, they were very supportive, but it was hard for them to accept all the shit that I had done, right? So there was a massive amount of Kensho for me to then pop out on the other side and say, I need help. And I went and got help. So a psychologist, got a mindfulness exercise, and I popped into level two consciousness. Level two consciousness is where life happens by you, right? You can now set goals. And I call this stage, I just like to give them labels because it's easier to imagine. This person's the achiever, right? Who listening to this has set goals? Yeah. If you're a goal setter, you are level two consciousness, right? Level two, life is happening by you. You're setting goals, you can actually achieve things. And it's significantly more empowered than level one, where you're a victim and life is happening to you and you've got no option, right? You can't change. Level two is all about evolution. You can grow, I'll set some goals, I'll set some targets. To keep it succinct, generally what will happen, people at level two, and this is where you'll see people that, like, and I've coached remarkable people that have like three cars in their driveways, they've got multiple houses, multiple holiday homes, traveling for 6 months of the year, living what by most people's standards would be the dream life. And they're just like, Amrit, I'm empty. Like, it looks like fruit from the outside, but if you squeeze it, it's just ash. Like, there's fucking nothing here. And those people, like, they've clocked level two, right? And some of us don't have to clock level two. Some of us can feel it already. Generally, what happens is you set a bunch of goals, you set a bunch of success stories for yourself, and you live into them and you realize they're not what you thought they would be. Or life knocks you around. Sometimes this happens when you lose a loved one or you see someone close to you pass away. I lost a mentor. I remember this was, pretty pivotal for me as well when that happened. Touch wood, bless her soul. You start to go from achieving to the next level, which is level three, which is actually all about surrender. Yeah. And surrender is a very difficult concept for most people, right? Level three consciousness is life is no longer happening by me, it's happening through me. Oh, sorry, for me.
For me.
For me? Yeah, for me. And in that space, sorry, I jumped the gun. Level four is by me. Through me. Yeah. And so if life is happening for you at level three consciousness, everything, all the challenges that have brought you, you're completely broken and you're completely healed, right? How do you reconcile that? You can't. You just surrender to it, right? This is life, right? And I'm meant to be doing this. And it's like, oh, I look back from a level three perspective, touch wood, not saying that I'm always level three, yeah, I'm not levels, just from a level three perspective, I look back on my life and I was like, absolutely, you were meant to go through 7 years of career misalignment because you were always meant to help people navigate their challenges with career misalignment, life misalignment, leadership misalignment. You're meant to help them with their purpose. This is part of your story, if you remember me sharing that with you before. It's all perfect, right? And then you start to get out of your own way a little bit and go, okay, I've set the best goals and destinations for myself, and they've gotten me thus far. And you definitely, it is useful to retain some of your level two-ness, I would say. But at level three, you start to go, okay, what is the universe presenting me? And it's touch wood from level three places where, somehow you're, I don't want to say you're nobody, that talks me down, but you're not Eckhart Tolle yourself, and yet Eckhart Tolle is coaching you. And it's like, who am I to be coached by you? Like, you are one of the most amazing people I've ever even managed to come across. You just surrender, touch wood, and the universe presents you with opportunities, right? Me listening to the synchronicity of that gentleman walking into the surf hostel, that's now inviting in more surrender. Learning to listen to that, learning to go with the flow. And I like to look at this person as the flower, right? So you've got the victim, the achiever, the flower. And this is where you're tapping more and more into flow. And then, as I jumped the gun before, level four consciousness is life is happening through you. You are one, you are unity consciousness, you're enlightened. And touch wood, I think there are more and more people now on the planet with this awareness, because I do think collectively we are going through a shift. I think the world is shifting from level two consciousness to level three. You can see many people are like trying to achieve. Millennials are like, I don't need to work all those hours. I'm not doing it. For what, right? And where more of us are having this conversation, because there is a collective shift, right? And all of the challenges that we're like raping and pillaging the earth, pulling out its resources, trying to do all this sort of shit. And it's like, yeah, we've pushed as hard as we can, but at some point we've got to go with it a little bit more, right? And that doesn't mean, again, we don't lose all the level two-ness, but we learn how to be more, okay, what is the earth teaching us? Sustainability was a great conversation. How do we sustain growth? Now it's like, how do we regenerate? Whoa, now we're in flow state, right? Now it's like level three. So we're going through a collective shift. We're going through the shifts, and there's a responsibility on us to do the work. We're collectively doing the work. There's a responsibility on us to like support each other through the work. And I think that succinctly but longishly sort of describes the levels of consciousness.
I'm with you. I feel the shift. It's one of the reasons I've sort of shifted my own podcast, because I do believe it's shining a light on people such as yourselves that feel that shift and can help others go through it as well. Because I think it's happening, and I think there are days where I'm just like, wow, you know, I was not like this 5 years ago. I'd be like, you know, where's my to-do list? What am I doing? There's no goal and very achievement. I was very much in level two. And now it's like, no, just relax. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. Be in flow. Whatever will be, you will be. And this is happening for. So it's, and it is, I think some people say, you know, well, how do you get to the next level? Or how do you increase your consciousness levels? Or why do you feel that way? And I don't know how to answer that. And the only thing I can say is I just feel it. That's for me. It was like the whole COVID thing. You know, I just felt something wasn't quite as the media were portraying this, that, the other. And it was just a massive, it doesn't feel right to me. That's all I can say. I don't need to go into the nuts and bolts of everything. And it's the same around, I've got the same feeling around money, around corporate life, around these certain things. And again, I'm just going by my own feelings. If someone came to Amrit and said, how can I, trying not to use the word levels, but how can I become more conscious? Do you have a way they can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a long conversation starts at that point. That's a coaching conversation where we start to unpack who's pushing, depending on where they're at. Like, why are you pushing? You know, one of my favorite sayings, this came from someone on the podcast, which is, you're running to find enlightenment, like you're chasing it and chasing it and chasing it. Slow down, it's behind you. Right? So that's always the invitation to who's asking, who's looking. Okay, who's that person? What is their, you know, what is their propensity? Depending on what level you're at. If you're at level one, then it's like, okay, how do we get you out of the victim state? The ace in the hole for that person, even you would assume it's goal setting, it's really gratitude, right? The ace in the hole is gratitude, right? If you can find some gratitude, you like whatever you're a victim of just loses its grip, it disintegrates, right? From level two to level three, right? And mind you, I didn't give you level zero to level one because hopefully you're listening to this, you've got language. So level two to level three, the key tools in there, I find, just from the work that I've been up to and, again, leaning into the Eckhart Tolle coaching, the first tool is acceptance, right? You'll notice the difference between level two is there's a lot of push trying to potentially manifest outcomes that may or may not be aligned with you, but you're pushing and you're achieving and you're actually getting it done. You may be burning yourself out a little bit to reach that far, but you may be getting it, you may not be getting it. But at level three, one of the things you've cracked through is you've just accepted a significant deal more, right? It's just like, whether I have the nice house or not, I'm still the child of God, like, and I'm here and I've got richness in the present moment. I'm here talking to someone on the other side of the world in UK, such a beautiful interaction, such a rich conversation. Whether I have whatever I was trying to achieve doesn't mean anything. I'm just following the flow and I can accept that this is actually the beauty of life, connection, right? So for me, that's my family, right? So yeah, touch wood. The first place to start is acceptance. The more you can accept, right, the more you'll slip into level three consciousness. Now, in there, it's pretty interesting because surrender is the word I used before. Surrender and trust are two sides to the same coin, right? If you find yourself you can't surrender, it's because you can't trust. Yeah, and sometimes I find that really useful because trust is something on this side of the coin which I can actually work on, right? Surrender seems like the dark side and trust looks like the light side. It's like, do I trust the universe has my greatest intentions in its heart? It's like, oh, not always. There was that time and it's like, okay, boom, that's where you can't surrender, bro. That's what you need to work on. Yeah. And so from there, it's like, that's what I need to accept. If I can accept that, then I can trust it. Now I can learn to surrender. So that's one of the tools. Another one of the tools to go from level two to level three is joy. Yeah. Finding what actually brings you joy. Joy is very different to happiness. Yeah, let's just be super clear. Joy is, it's more of a spiritual emanation, right? You can be joyous in the moment and not even be laughing, not even be smiling. You know, touch wood is a radiance to joy, right? So there are certain things that bring you joy and you know what they are, right? And that's where the knowing fascinates me. You can't help but sort of click into it when you know you click into it. Like, I've been podcasting for 6 years. Sonia, you've been podcasting for ages. You just know there's a joy in there. You know, you took some time off, you're bringing it back. You just know that it brings you joy. It doesn't feel right to not be doing it. So you're coming back to it, right? And it's just like, you're meant to be doing this, right? Your flow is naturally surrendering you into doing stuff, which sounds very achievey. It feels very level two when you look at it from the outside in, but it's coming from a very different place. And the third one is enthusiasm. There are certain things, and it's my favorite word in the world, touch wood. I love enthusiasm. If I could change my name, it'd be Enthusiasm Sandu. I don't know, I just said that. Touch wood. But it's, enthusiasm is just, yeah. There are things that you're enthusiastic about. And I used to notice this even as a young guy. Like, I didn't have all this awareness around me back then. But when I used to go on a date, I used to see what the opposite, the girl on the other side of the table was finding funny. Because you can't fake your humor. And if I would make a joke and she didn't find it funny, I was like, oh, this is not going to work. Like, we are different people, right? And that's totally fine. Similarly, you cannot fake what you're enthusiastic about, right? So when people go, what's my purpose? It's like, take a look around your space. Like, my space is filled with books and instruments on spirituality, personal development, finance, wealth, mindset, growth, like all sorts of cool stuff, right? To me, that's what's cool to me. And musical instruments like frequency, music, songs, devotional music. It's what's always, and I'm enthusiastic about it. You can see as I'm saying, like, the words are tumbling out. I'm trying to catch up to the words that I'm saying that are coming out of my mouth. Slow down, right? But that's enthusiasm. And you can't fake that, right? And some people go, oh, I don't have anything in my space. I was like, what are you YouTubing all the time? Right? Like, are you always looking at old classic cars? Yeah. Or are you always looking at magic tricks? Are you like always looking at beauty tips? Like, what are the things that you're checking out? Right? How to do the perfect deadlift? Like, are you into the, like, oh, it could be anything, right? How do aircrafts work? How stuff works? It could be anything. But you're spending your time and energy. Your spirit is always, enthusiasm is to infuse with spirit. Your spirit is always emanating into this 3D reality. What are you enthusiastic about? That will also bring you from level two to level three if you can follow what you're enthusiastic about. For me, it's conscious conversation, touch wood. You asked me before, what does Amrit do at the beginning of the podcast? And it's like, yeah, lots of things. They're all the vehicles for conscious conversation, right? Driven to help people find more meaning in their life.
I love that we got to touch on that. Literally, purpose is such a huge, huge topic. One of my, I've spent a long time searching for mine. And I guess the question I wanted to ask you was, do we all actually have a purpose?
I believe so. I believe so. I like we don't because I don't believe in coincidences, right? Like just like you. So that means that everything has a reason the way that it is, right? Touch wood. It can be hard to stomach with our limited human awareness.
And it doesn't always have to be, you know, I think people get stuck in thinking it's got to be this huge, big thing because because of what we hear on YouTube and through podcasts and the media. It's like, okay, we're seeing the ones that want to get out there and talk about their purpose. But for some people, and, you know, and maybe I'm going to maybe talk about women. I don't personally have children. It's just not a calling I've had. But I think a lot of women see purpose through their children. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe that's a purpose, motherhood, or, you know, it could be something simple as cooking. You love cooking. I don't know. There's purpose doesn't need to be that big, huge thing. It could be, like you say, it's what brings you here.
All right, let's go there. I'll try and keep this succinct. But so generally what you have, and this is one of the trainings that I do, it gives you an insight into coaching with Amarin, I guess. So you generally have a set of curiosity points. You know, this is how an engineering spirituality with you, so pardon me if I'm getting too into the weeds. You generally have a set of curiosity points, and you might be curious about, you know, health, wealth, finance, and how your spirituality and manifestation and law of abundance can bring all that in together. That's just four data points. I'm just trying to bring around anything. Could be you've got curiosity around how to draw, you know, early childhood education and, you know, good food and nutrition. You draw a ring around those things, right? The minute you can draw a ring around three curiosity points and try and cinch them together, right, and bring them closer together. For me, it was like conscious conversation around spirituality, entrepreneurship, learning the skill of conversation and like building more connection, contribution, celebration. Oh, there's more than three there, right? Like the minute you've got three or more, you've actually got your hands on a passion, right? So it starts with curiosity. We are the universe looking in on itself. So the universe is innately curious. It's the fundamental fabric that is woven into, like, why the fuck consciousness? Like, what's consciousness? And yet it's happening, right? We're having this experience. It's curious about itself. We're curious about itself. You get it, right? Somewhat. Your responsibility for your passions are for you, is to cultivate them, please. And that looks like something is mundane. I do this for my coaching clients. Calendar them. Put them in your calendar. Schedule things that you're passionate about. Just schedule it. Conscious conversations. Have a conversation once a week with somebody on a podcast. I invited people into my living room every fortnight to have philosophical conversations. I scheduled it. Every fortnight, people would come over and hang out. So schedule that. That's one of the tools, right? So cultivate is probably what I would say. And that gives you your passions. Now, once you've cultivated your passions to a certain point, people were coming over to my living room every fortnight having philosophical conversations. After a while, people are like, whoa, can you do more of this? Because you're just overflowing. From the overflowing cup, you're not actually giving to anybody anything. People just see stuff dripping off you, touch wood, and they're like, oh, that's actually valuable. Can I grab onto that? Oh, that's actually valuable. Can I have a little bit of that? Can you share with me this insight? For me, people said, hey, can you start a podcast? These conversations are amazing. Will you start a podcast? And I had a massive aversion to it. I had all my own blocks, but eventually I came out of my way and moved into it, as you can now see. And I started to serve people my passion. My passion in service to you is a purpose. So exactly what you were saying before, you don't just have one passion. So you don't just have one purpose, right? You've got multiple curiosity intersection points. You could be really passionate about your family. It's one of your purposes. You're serving them. It's not about you, right? So the distinction between passion and purpose is passion is for you, purpose is for them. Find your passion by finding your curiosity points. And so, yeah, there's multiple purposes that you could be living into at any given time.
Amrit, I absolutely love this. If somebody, do you take on individual clients?
Thank you. Yeah, I've accepted that it's my favorite thing to do, touch wood, going deep one-on-one. Like, yeah, I used to run group coaching programs for all sorts of different stuff, and it's great. and it's actually financially more lucrative. But one-on-one coaching, where we get to super deep dive, it's just, I'm Mr. Connection, right? So the connections, the deeper they go, the more richer they feel for me. So connection, contribution, celebration. So absolutely love to coach. And generally, the easiest place to start is make your way over to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/inspiredevolution. If you scroll down on the page a little bit, you'll see 60, 70 odd testimonials just sitting there of people that have had a transformation. And if any of those transformations speaks to you, in the blurb of one of those transformations, there'll be a link to book into a discovery call. So you can, have a bit of a insight into, the types of people that I've supported and what sort of work I've done. I think that's probably the best way. If you want to just go, hey, this podcast has been super inspiring and I want to jump on a coaching call, amrit.coach is the website. But yeah, check out YouTube, just feel into a couple of testimonials, see if it's right for you, and then there's always going to be a link there and you can check it out.
What does the future hold, Amrit? Where are you taking Inspired Evolution next?
Oh, wow. The Inspired Evolution is actually taking me places, I would say. I continue to remain in awe of what it's up to. For me at the moment, it's trying to do the best I can on YouTube to try and afford people as many tools as I can. I want to use the word for free, but it doesn't feel right. It's a labor of love. So just trying to pour as much love as I can into that YouTube channel. It's been really remarkable for me, just the amount of impact that's possible. I've always been driven by impact, connection, contribution, celebration. Contribution is about impact. Let's all celebrate an impact, connection to, like, impact multiple people, touch wood. So that's really been zinging for me. And that's really what I've been trying to take the future into. So all of that to sort of grow more and more in the coaching space as well, offering more and more e-learning tools that we can support people with, whether it's learning how to meditate, understanding more and more around gratitude, how to actually live your purpose. There's a whole bunch of programs that I've created for people. Even if you want to start your own podcast, like I said, depression, expression, help me express myself, creating a whole bunch of stuff online to be able to support people, just because it's easy to have that impact and reach people far and far. But ultimately, what I would dream to create is, my vision is a community. Is really just a community space, practical, grounded, hopefully somewhere in the hinterlands of Byron Bay, I reckon, here in Australia, where people can actually come and connect to each other in the physical. People come, they support retreats. These teachers that are teaching each other online are not just teaching each other online. They actually come to a wellness center, they spend time with each other. We can actually spend time in the physical on these retreats. So I'm sure that'll come. But it's, that's the long-term vision. But right now it's just, trying to grow as much as we can online to support as many people as we can. And that seems to be the low-hanging fruit for how we can provide value. And I'm sure the more value, touch wood, that the Inspired Evolution continues to give the world, the more value will be reciprocated. And whatever the vision of the future is, will transpire, will be. Like, it's good to have a level two goal, but again, level three, touch wood, let's see what it brings forth.
What are, and this is my final find, what are the key takeaways from our conversation that you would say our audience should take away? Just a couple of key takeaways from this.
There's probably quite a few around, you dropping into the present moment and just the positive mental health that's afforded with presence. I'm hoping you're taking away something around purpose and just how to actually find your purpose. But the big thing that's been my fascination, and I hope some of that's rubbing off on you at the moment, to be fascinated by, is this sense of knowing. Like, some part of you knows you're made for more. Some part of you knows something's not serving you. Some part of you knows that something's serving you. We don't know how we know that, but we just fucking know that, right?
Thank you for tuning into the show. Please subscribe and share. That would really help me get these valuable messages out.